are we going? Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. If you haven't been back inside our worship center yet, and this is your first time back here today, a special welcome. We started back in here last week with an all-in service and felt very blessed. It's good to be able to worship together. It's good to be back in this place which is specifically set aside for us to worship God. And Jess was reminding us last week, we can worship God anywhere. God is with us, but it is great to be back in here. Let me start by reading Psalm 46 to you. God is our mighty fortress, always ready to help in times of trouble. And so we will not be afraid. Let the earth tremble and the mountains tumble into the deepest sea. Let the ocean roar and the foam and its raging waves shake the mountains. A river and its streams bring joy to the city, which is the sacred home of God Most High. God is in that city, and it won't be shaken. He will help it at dawn. Nations rage, kingdoms fall, but at the voice of God, the earth itself melts. The Lord All-Powerful is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, see the fearsome things the Lord has done on earth. God brings wars to an end all over the world. He breaks the arrows, shatters the spears, and burns the shields. Our God says, "Calm down and learn that I am God. All nations on earth will honor me. The Lord All-Powerful is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." May God remind us of those things, not just today while we're here, but as we go out and enter the world where things tremble and the waves, whatever the waves do. What did it say? It's great. The raging waves and shake the mountains. So as we go and we do feel like things are shaking and trembling around us, let's be reminded of that. So a couple of things to let you know about today. I'm pressing the button and it's not moving, but now, Judah, I've turned it on. So it should work. A reminder that we are complying to restrictions that we're under to ensure that we are COVID safe so that we can operate here. So the same things that you may have been hearing for a long time, socially distance, and if you're sitting beside someone and you need a gap, just make that space. Refrain from hugging or handshakes, please, and at morning tea, let our team serve you rather than self-serve. Stay home if you're unwell, you've got a bit of a cough and you're worried about your health, keep that away. And fill in your contact details. So as you've come in, thanks to Richard and Dennis and Kathy too, can we just give them a big clap? Because they're getting here really early and getting things organised and getting everyone to sign in and making sure we're safe. So we appreciate that, guys. Thank you for doing that. What's on? Now, last week we had a list of this is about to start and this is started already for the year. I just want to celebrate the things we've started in the last week. So Lyft. Who came to Lyft on Tuesday? Fantastic. It was great. Oh, there's like some enthusiastic waving. Woohoo. It was a great morning. And so I'm glad that if you are a lady and you're able to come to Ladies in Fellowship, I'm glad that you came and enjoyed that last week. We also started on the same day community dinner. And that was a great opportunity to actually sit down at tables. And it was a little bit different. So we're getting into the hang of how that's going to work. Who enjoyed community dinner this week? Wonderful. Thanks for coming. And you know, one of the bonuses is the ability to have conversations with people and to encourage them and to have that doorway open for a faith conversation. So thanks for being there. Just Men, oh, seeing as we're doing this, who enjoyed Just Men this week? James, I think you said 13 men? Fabulous. And we also want to celebrate just had an idea a while ago and we talked about it. And this Wednesday we started our Learning Hub. And our Learning Hub is a space not necessarily where we provide tutoring for kids, but encourage them to come. And we had a one-on-one mentor position and want to encourage kids into the love of learning. So if you were at the Learning Hub this week, can you put your hand up as well? Some of the kids were there, some of the grown-ups were here. Thanks for being here. And for those who are part of that ministry, we really appreciate you as well. So there's lots of things happening. If you check your newsletter, and your newsletter is now even fuller, even more full of things that we didn't have previously because we had all our songs inside for the past 8 months or so. So check the details on your newsletter, or if you have any questions, you can contact the office. This is exciting. 10 years ago, Bill Hunter started a church called God Sports Arena. And it started near the Suncorp Stadium at the little church there. And Bill was the chaplain for the Broncos. Over the years, it's changed and its location's changed a little. But it's been a great church with a difference for people. And tonight, or this afternoon, the first GSA on the Sunshine Coast starts. So that's really exciting. And we've had conversations, and lots of you have had conversations with Bill. We've seen a few interviews where you've been interviewed, and we're really encouraged that this place can be in partnership with people who may not really feel that this coming into church and sitting down is their cup of tea. So it's church with a bit of a difference. And if you're free this afternoon, if you want to come along and support that as they start, it'll be the first Sunday of every month, 4:30 here. So you're most welcome to come. It'll be something that's a bit different. Anyone, while we're doing this whole hand thing, anyone keen on coming this afternoon that we might see you there? Fantastic. That's really good. And we've been praying this morning specifically. We've been praying for a while, but this morning specifically we were praying that the right people would come along. And that would be a blessing to everyone who could be here today. We talked to you last week about a new sermon series called A Way Out. That starts today. And if you came in and you took a notebook, that's specifically so you can write some notes. Sometimes it's good to engage a little more in what we're listening to by writing down some notes. If that's your style and you'd like to do that, you're welcome to. If it's not and you like to listening, there's no obligation. Isn't that good? You can just listen. But there are notebooks there, and there's a little piece of paper that you would have received at the door as well that just gives you the dates and the titles of the sermons and lets you know what's going to happen. Now, I think that's all I have. Is that all I have? Yeah, that's all I have. So it's good to have you here this morning. I'm going to hand over to Derek, and we're going to start with a song and worship God together in this place.
Come, let us all unite and sing. Now, we all support, I don't know, different sporting, different football teams. We have different political opinions. We have different things that we enjoy, entertainment. But can we unite in this? God is love. Let's stand and sing. Come, let us all unite and sing. Come, let us all unite and sing. God is love. Let heaven and earth their praises bring. God is love. Let every soul from sin awake, each in his heart sweet music make, and sing with us for Jesus' sake. God is love, God is love, God is love. And sing with us for Jesus' sake. God is love. Oh, tell to earth's remotest bound, God is love. In Christ we have redemption found. God is love. His blood has washed our sins away. His Spirit turned our night to day. And now we can rejoice to say, God is love. God is love. God is love. And
And now we can rejoice to say God is love. How happy is our portion here, God is love. His promises our spirits cheer, God is love. He is our sun and shield by day, our help, our hope, our strength, our stay. He will be with us all the way, God is love. God is love. God is love. He will be with us all the way. God is love.
Please be seated, and you'll now be waited upon for your offering.
Stand up and help me for a second. I can't pop the money down. All right, can you pop a chair just over there? Put it in front of everyone. Yeah, thank you. Now, I'm just going to pop something on this chair for you guys this morning. I'll just put it just over here. And grab the box. Yeah. Oh, Kit Kats. Yum. Amani, can you help me? You help me? Sit. All right. So, I'm going to pop them just on this chair here. Oh. Wow. Oh, hang on a second. I've got some important information about the Kit Kats you might want to hear first. So, now, the Kit Kats, you can choose to take one now, or if you wait until we go out for Kids Zone, you guys can have two. So, it's completely up to you. Oh, Karen's grabbing one. Okay. So the choice is up to you guys. Do you trust me that I'll give you two if we go out there, if you can wait? Do you trust me?
Yes.
What did you say, Amani?
I don't like chocolate.
Okay, well, Amani's okay then. She doesn't like chocolate. So, yeah, that's good for you then. Got a few kids offering to eat hers for her. That's nice. Very, very kind and loving thing to do. Hop down. Okay, so I'll leave that choice with you guys. So you can grab one now while we do kids' time, or if you wait, we can get two out there, okay? So, does anyone have any lost teeth or had a birthday this week? Kira, hang on a second.
I'm six now.
Kira's six now. Did we sing happy birthday to Kira? No? Oh, so we missed out on singing happy birthday. Okay, well, we'll sing happy birthday to Kira.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
We love celebrating our kids growing up, so when we go out to Kids Zone, we will have a special surprise for you out there. Now, does anyone have any other news, birthdays or teeth that they want to share with their church family? Levi, do you want to stand up?
I've got some news. For my birthday in April, I'm going to get a new pet.
Oh.
It's going to be the 8th one.
Levi thinks he's getting a new pet for his birthday. That's exciting. Emmy.
I'm starting soccer with Alicia.
Cool. Emmy's going to start soccer with Alicia. And when does the soccer start? Do you know?
No.
I think it's March. Yeah? Awesome. That'll be cool. And Jacinda, do you want to stand up?
When is my birthday? I am getting a new mermaid tail.
Oh, Jacinda's going to get a mermaid tail for her birthday. So that's really cool. I think I might want one too. All right, so you guys can all stand up and we are going to head out for Kids Zone this week. All right, see ya.
Morning all. I think I need one of these. It is. I'm hopeless with technology. That one? It's working. It's time for Chat in the Chapel. And Richard's coming up to share with us. I'll start off with what brought you to the Canoe of Salvation Army?
Oh, it was actually probably my life was a bit out of control, and I found myself in jail. I got locked up in jail for a while, and actually at Christmas time, the Salvos come around and they give you a pack, and it just really blew me away that they did that. And I really wanted to get involved, and I asked the chaplain there, how do you get involved, and he said, oh, when you get out, just go and see the local church, and then it was through the Salvos, they have a program, Family Doorways program, which just people that need help in that, and through that, I managed to come up here and start volunteering a couple of days a week. Yeah.
Another one that I've just thought of, how long ago was that, Richard?
Oh, 3 years now, I suppose, we've come up here a couple of days a week.
Yeah, that's great. What or who decided for you to come to church on Sundays? Because he was asked a couple of times by a number of people if he would be interested, but one thing...
Oh, I was actually driving along in the car with Alicia, and she said, Dad, could we go to church? And I was a bit taken aback actually, and I haven't looked back since, to be honest. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I think it was a surprise for Richard, but all of us, and it was it was really, really good to see.
Yeah.
Do you feel comfortable here in church?
Yes, definitely. I've had so much help I couldn't name everyone but yourself and a lot of people through the ladies through the Connect. Yeah, I was going back to the first question. When I was in jail, my kids were growing up, and they weren't being fed.
They are now. They're being fed now, mate.
But I wasn't doing my job.
When I came out, I decided to move away and just change my life around, you know, change my life for the better, because I needed to, you know. And so I was lucky enough, you know, to get involved with the church. And it's just amazing, you know, what they do, you know, for the whole community. And I feel part of the community now, and I just love coming to church.
And Beck from Family Doorways, was a big influence on
you? Yeah, definitely. Like, me too, Ray. Like, I was for asking questions, and still do, you know. And
I call this bloke the sponge. Yeah. That's another story. Richard helps out in the yard, as you know. And every Monday morning, he's got a question about the sermon on the Sunday.
Oh, because I like some of the songs, like, it means a lot, though, like, being set free, making a change, you know?
And they've all made a difference in the way you are.
Yeah, of course, you know, I've just changed my life around for the better. I know I might get to be around good people.
So back when you were in prison, you weren't a believer then?
No.
You had nothing to do with God?
No.
And since then?
Oh, yeah, I certainly do. Faith, you know, I'm always asking.
Yes.
And actually, Richard, one of the, he said, he got up and spoke.
This is Richard Bellamy.
Yeah.
One of his servants.
Yeah, and he said, the truth shall set you free. And it was like I've been hit over the back of the head. You know, it just went bang, and just everything started falling into place. You know, and it was just, the truth shall set you free. What a massive thing in my life, you know.
Yeah. And there's a few things that you attend now here.
Yeah, well, I started doing talks with the kids, like, that were running amok a bit at one of the, running through the salvos at one of the schools, and, like, do the sausages and just help out where I can.
Yeah, the fishing club.
Fishing club, yeah, just wherever I can.
And now you also go to a breakfast for men?
Oh, yes, yeah, with Calvin's got that going for single dad, and dad's like, you know, yeah, just need help.
And last week, your first time at...
men's group, that was good too, that was good. Definitely.
So it's been great to.
Well, yeah. Like I've said to you before, now I sort of measure my success and happiness of my kids. And my kids are happy.
Did you hear that one? Can you repeat that, Richard?
Oh, I measure my success and happiness of my kids.
That hits home, doesn't it?
Very good. But also, going to church. I've met my fiancée, my future wife, you know.
Yay! So you obviously feel part of the church life.
Oh, definitely. I couldn't tell you how many ladies have come up, like Jan and all the lot of people. Glenys has helped, you know, just to help. And just a little, people come up and say, Kevin, they just give you a nice word in your ear. Ooh. You know, because I fought for 2 years for my kids. Ooh. It was tough.
When you first started coming to church, you were getting the bus.
Yeah.
And that was a treat for all the people on the bus. The kids, they just brighten up your day, Richard's kids. They're beautiful.
Like 5 years ago, I wouldn't have thought I'd be sitting up the front of the bus going to church, put it that way. But I couldn't be prouder sitting up the front of the bus. And like when we get on the bus, the kids are, good morning, everyone. You know, it was really cool. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
And there was somebody said something pretty special to you one time too.
Yvonne made me cry. She said, I prayed for your kids last night. Yeah. And just things like that just blow you away.
Yeah. And I think what Rich is saying is that we, as a corps, are a very welcoming corps. It's 3 years and he feels part of it. So whatever we're doing right.
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah, unreal.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, that saying that's on the written on the word, life alone, is so true.
See, I told you he's a sponge. he sees it all. Yes. Richard, can I just pray for you now? Lord, we thank you for Richard bringing him here to this place. He's wanted to do it all, Lord. That's the difference. He's wanted to be better for his children. Better father and a better person, Lord. So we just thank you for all that Richard does and all he's going to do. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Bless you, Richard. This morning's reading is taken from James 1, and we're going to read from 2 to 4, and then 12 to 18. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it's titled Faith and Endurance. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Then down to verse 12, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from your own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and is perfect, is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heaven. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chooses to give birth to us by giving us the true word. And we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. May God bless this reading to his word.
Let's stand and sing again and acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place as we sing.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living home. Your presence I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, Lord, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Could you just remain standing and we're going to pray. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. God, I thank you because you are faithful. You never change. Lord, thank you that already this morning we've been blessed as we sing together, as we listen to your word. Thank you, God, for this place. Thank you because your Holy Spirit is present here. And Lord, as we listen to your word this morning, and as we feast even more on what you have for us, Lord, open our ears to hear your word. open our hearts to what you have to say to us. And Lord, help us to know that your presence is with us wherever we are. In Jesus' name we pray.
Way out. Our vision statement here at Clan de Salvos, as Richard has reminded us, starts with no one should do life alone. There's hope and there's freedom in Jesus. What a great truth to hold on to. There's hope and there's freedom in Jesus. But sometimes we can feel trapped. Sometimes we can feel like there's no way out. And that's not where we should be. That's not where we should be as Christians. Have you ever been trapped? Like physically trapped? Anybody here ever been trapped in an elevator? Oh, really? So many people. There's a real issue with elevators in this place. And we only have one level. A few years ago, we went to a Christmas party at a friend's house. He's had a multi-level dwelling, three levels, and he had his own little private elevator. Very, very nice. We're going up and down the stairs. Jeremy thought it would be a good idea while we were all having fun and talking and eating to try out this elevator by himself, this is a few years ago, and see if he could defy gravity and jump as the elevator was going up and down and just have that sense of weightlessness. Oh, he got stuck. He got stuck halfway between the second floor and the third floor. He was trapped. There was no way out. And we took a while to figure out that Jeremy wasn't with us. Fortunately, he had his phone. He gave us a ring. And so we went downstairs and we tried to move it manually, couldn't do it. It was late on a Saturday night, we couldn't get someone to come and fix it. And so we had to use our own devices. I think we went down and got some garden tools, like a shovel or something, and pried the door open and he got out. And we never talk about that ever again. But some people are trapped like that with the sin in their life, the temptation that they succumb to over and over again. We're not going to focus so much on that over this next 5 weeks, but we really are going to focus on the fact that there is a way out. You don't have to be trapped. You don't have to succumb over and over again. That verse that was there at the beginning, that's going to be our key verse that we're going to have over the next 5 weeks. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. Can you say that after me? And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand, and when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. A way out. That's good news, isn't it? That's a great promise to hold on to, that there will be a way out. So this week I'm going to set the scene a little bit. I'm going to be talking about the fact that there is always a way out. Next week Karen's going to get specifically into how do we fight temptation, how do we eliminate temptation. I'm going to share with you about how to get victory by living by the Spirit. Cess is going to talk to us about the temptations of Jesus, and then we're going to wrap it up, figuring out how we can feed our spirit, feed that things that will grow us and sustain us and help us to move away from temptation. So what is temptation? What is this thing? There's probably many definitions out there, but this is the one I'm going to work with today. And temptation is anything that promises fulfillment at the cost of trusting God. Anything that promises fulfillment at the cost of trusting God. Now, there's a promise there. It's a false promise. It doesn't come through. This thing, this temptation, promises fulfillment. It promises satisfaction. And maybe that does happen temporarily, but there's also a cost. The cost is that we break our relationship with God. We trust ourselves. We look to ourselves instead of trusting in God. And this story is as old as there's been people. One of the very first stories in the Bible is the story of the temptation of Adam and Eve. There they were in the garden. God said, you can go anywhere you like. You can do anything you like. There's no limits. Except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't go near that. Don't touch that. Don't eat it. Because you will surely die. And so Eve found herself right next to the tree. Now, I think there's a lesson straight up. If you know that you've got a problem with certain things in your life, you stay away from those things. You don't get closer and closer and closer to that thing. There's plenty of things that we have in our life that can be a problem for us. And they're a problem particularly for us. And there's certain things that we should stay away from. Now, as a Salvationist, if you wear a Salvation Army uniform or you've signed up to be a soldier, you will say that you won't partake in alcohol. Now, there's nothing necessarily wrong with alcohol. In moderation, Jesus drank. I think that's true. Is that right? But for some people, alcohol is a no-go zone. If you're an alcoholic, if you have trouble with alcohol in your past, there is no safe place for alcohol for you. You're a Salvationist. You said no to that. But if I have a problem with alcohol, I'll just say, in my past or at some time, I don't go spending all my time hanging out at the pub resisting temptation. It doesn't make any sense, does it? I stay as far away from that as possible. So Eve found herself at the tree. And there she was at the tree, this tree that she shouldn't have really gone near. And the serpent said, started to twist God's words and said, you won't really die. In fact, you will know for yourself good and evil. You will be fulfilled. He promised fulfillment. And she looked at him and said, yeah, actually, this looks pretty good. Maybe he's right. Maybe I will get fulfilled. Maybe I will be better for that. And so she made the decision to trust herself to try and find fulfillment instead of trusting God. The relationship was broken. They were cast out. And that has been our story ever since, trying to battle the promise of fulfillment, getting our own satisfaction rather than trusting God. Now, the system that's involved with this, a little bit of science, is about this little guy called dopamine. Have you heard of dopamine? Dopamine is the feel-good neurotransmitter. Now, in your brain, there's a set of things that make you do positive things. You wake up in the morning, why do you not stay in bed? Why do you hop out of bed? Because the system starts clicking in, dopamine starts buzzing around. When you hop out of bed, you get rewarded. Dopamine comes around and you feel good. You go for a walk, you get a little bit of dopamine, you feel rewarded. But this can go wrong. Too little dopamine, it's a problem. Too much dopamine, it's a problem. There's a set of drugs that they use for Parkinson's disease called dopamine agonists. And they found that some people, when they're on these dopamine agonists, have too much dopamine. They find themselves doing things that maybe they might not have done otherwise. They start binge eating. They find themselves that they're doing reckless spending. They're out there involved in dangerous sexual activities and gambling out of control. Now, they might be able to put the excuse on dopamine, but we really can't. Because do we control over that? Do we have control over the temptations? Or are we just masters of our own body? If it feels good, we should just do it. Which way is it? Well, we do have control, because there is a way out, which is what God promises us. We don't have to say, I couldn't help myself. We can say that I have a way out because God has given me a way out. Now, this is something that we all struggle with, that we don't do the things that we should do, and we do the things that we don't do. Is there anybody here who doesn't struggle with that? Is there anybody here who doesn't have that particular thing that they aren't tempted by? Now, the list is as long as your arm, and I could go through the whole things. I could list a particular thing that you have, something that you know that you shouldn't be involved in, something that either hurts you, something that when you do it, it hurts someone else, or something that when that happens, it hurts the heart of God. And Paul struggled with this as well. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. Is anybody relating to this? I decide to do bad. I decide not to do that bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. But he hit the nail on the head right at the beginning there. I realize I don't have what it takes. And you don't have what it takes by yourself. Your strength of will is not enough. You need Jesus in your life. You need the power of God to help you get a way out of that situation. If you rely on yourself, sooner or later you will fall. If you trust trust in God and trust in Him and trust in the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, there will always be a way out. Because God is faithful and He will show you a way out so you can endure. God is faithful and He will show you a way out. That is a great promise, but do you believe it? Do you believe there is always a way out? I hope you do. I hope if maybe by the end of the sermon today, or at the very least by the end of the series, you do not have to succumb to temptation. You do not have to be, you do not have to fall. God says, and this is His promise, and I trust it to be true, that He is faithful, even when we're not, even when we let Him down, that He will give us a way out. So let's look at some things that temptation is and some things that temptation isn't. First of all, it's not a sin to be tempted. Some people think they conflate the two. They think, if I'm tempted, then I'm a bad person. But what does it say in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15? For we do not have a high priest, that's Jesus, who is unable to empathize with our weakness. Or in other words, we do have a high priest who is able to empathize with us. We have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, but He did not sin. So if Jesus is tempted and He did not sin, cannot connect the two. Just because you're tempted, that doesn't equal sin. But where's the line? Where's the line between temptation and sin? Now, I have a muffin here. Muffin. It's a salted caramel chalk mud muffin. Whoops. Now, it's not a sin. Let me tell you right up. It's not a sin for me to eat this muffin. But I'm going to use this muffin as a representation for something that is sinful. Okay, whatever that thing in your life that you know that if you succumb to it, it's a problem for you. So Karen and I are trying to lose weight at the moment. It's a perpetual thing. That cycle that you're on, you're trying to lose weight. And so we have a little app and we record the number of calories, kilojoules that we take, and we exercise. Now imagine at the end of the day, I've hit my maximum. I've got a limit that I've set and I'm feeling good because I haven't gone over. But, you know, I had dinner, had supper, there's the muffin. And it calls out to me. At what point does my temptation turn to sin? Is it when I walk over to the muffin? Is it when I pick the muffin up? Is it when I smell the muffin? Is it when I put my finger in? And there is a point. I don't know what it is for you and your thing, but there's a point when you know that temptation has crossed the line. But if you're tempted, you do not need to feel guilty. There's no guilt associated with temptation. Ah, here's some good news, Andrew. Some good news. There's a whole stack of those muffins. And later on, the ladies for morning tea will cut them up. And you can have a guilt-free muffin for morning tea afterwards. Or maybe just a slither. Maybe just a slither. Just 2,000 kilojoules. So just factor that in. A salted mud caramel. It's not a sin to be tempted, but sometimes we feel guilty when we are tempted. And that is the thing, though, with this cycle that we're on. When we do with this whole dopamine thing, that when we want to do something, when we're tempted to do something, there's a bit of a thrill, there's a bit of a buzz, there's a bit of an excitement. And so we look at that thing that we shouldn't look at, and we taste that thing that we shouldn't taste, and we say that thing that we shouldn't say, because we feel good in the moment. We have the promise of fulfillment. But then after that, there is actual real guilt and real remorse and real shame because we've let ourselves down. Maybe we've hurt someone else. Maybe we've hurt the heart of God. And this cycle continues. But that's not the case with the difference between temptation and sin. If you don't sin, if you walk away, if you close that lid, if you walk past that muffin, whatever that might be in your life, your muffin, then you do not need to feel guilty because you have resisted that temptation. So temptation, it's not a sin to be tempted. It's also, we need to know that we are never above temptation. As I said before, if muffins were my problem, or alcohol, and I spent the whole day standing outside muffin break trying to resist that muffin, then I'm really putting myself in the wrong position. Now, some of you might think, well, you know what, I really don't have any problems here. But I'm really glad you are talking about this over the next few weeks, because there's someone, so-and-so, who may be right next to me, who really needs to hear this sermon about temptation. Everybody needs to hear this sermon. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. You are never above temptation. The Message puts it this way. Don't be so naive and self-confident. You are not exempt. You could fall flat on your face as easily as anyone else. Forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Cultivate God confidence. You are not strong enough by yourself. Sooner or later, you will fall unless you rely on God, unless you continually turn to God to give you your strength. So it's not a sin to be tempted. You are never above temptation. And here's the next one that we need to hold on to. God will never tempt you. You can't say, oh, you know, God's tempting me to do this, God's tempting me to do that. The Bible makes it clear that God never tempts us. Now, the two words that they use in the New Testament for temptation and testing, they're very similar. Pirazo and parezimos. Is that close enough, Stephen? Yes, thumbs up. My brother and his family are here today, and he's very much into the Greek rather than me. But the reason I tell you that is that sometimes it gets translated one way and sometimes it gets translated another way. And I wonder, is it really important to know the difference between testings and trials and temptation? Well, yes and no. No, because how we react to that is exactly the same. If you're being tempted, or you are in a time of struggle or trial or testing, what do we need to do? We need to draw close to God. We need to get strength from God to endure it. But it does make a difference that we do know the difference. But it's an invitation. Every temptation is an invitation to depend on God. Every testing, every trial, it's an invitation to depend on God. James chapter 1, verse 12, in the NLT, they split the difference. They say, God blesses those who are patiently endure testing and temptation. There's only one Greek word there, but they went, oh, we're not sure whether it's testing or temptation he's talking about. We're going to throw them both in there. But it is important to know the difference, because it's when you endure it that you receive the crown of life. And God is faithful and he will give you a way out regardless. But James goes on to make it clear. When you are tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. And this is the difference between temptation and testing. If you are tested, if God tests you, he wants to refine you. He wants to bring you closer to him. He wants to draw you into his presence. He wants to rub off the rough edges. It's for your benefit. He wants to promote you. If you're tempted, what happens is when we fall with temptation, we're drawn away from God. We feel that guilt. We feel that shame. We move further away. So the context is important, and who is doing that temptation and who is doing that testing. And we can't necessarily blame the devil every time. Oh, the devil made me do it. You can't say God made me do it. You can't say the devil made me do it. And James makes that clear as well. Temptation comes from what? Our own evil desires. Now that's a hard pill to swallow sometimes. The fact is we've really got ourselves to blame for many situations where we've spent too much time outside the muffin shop. We've only got ourselves to blame. It entices us. It drags us away. It promises fulfillment. And then if we fall for that, maybe because we've fallen for that before, we fall for that again. These desires give birth to a sinful action, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Now that sounds pretty dramatic, but that's the situation. That's why we need to resist temptation. That's why we need to draw near to God. That's why it's great that we serve a God who is faithful and will always give us a way out. Sometimes? No, always. Now James goes on to say that if it is a test and it's from God, then it's for our benefit. He says it's good and perfect gift. Whatever comes down from God, do you have something good and perfect in your life? Do you? Some of you do. That's great. If you have something good in your life, that is a gift from God. Maybe that's a result of testing, that good thing that you have in your life. It's not as a result of temptation. God loves us. We are his prized possession. He birthed us by giving us his true word. God wants the best for us, so God doesn't test us. Sorry, he does test us. God does not tempt us. It's not a sin to be tempted. You are never above temptation. I am never above temptation. God will never tempt you. And lastly, there is always a way out. So what is the way out? We'll have to come back next week to find out. No, that's not true. I'll give you some ideas right now, but Karen is going to go deeper into this next week. How do we find a way out? What is the way out for you? And it does change a little bit from person to person, but it probably will involve some of these things. But regardless of what it is, God is faithful and he will give you a way out so you can endure. So, confession. Confession is probably one of the things you're going to have to come across to find a way out. You have to admit that that situation that you're in, you struggle with. That there's something wrong there that you're not able to overcome yourself. Because if you don't see that something is a problem, you're never going to try and fix it. If you don't own up to this particular thing, this muffin is a real problem for me. If I don't admit that this muffin is a real problem for me, I'm just going to keep eating the muffins. I'm going to be in denial. But if we confess to God that it is an issue for us, he is faithful and he will give us a way out. It says in Proverbs chapter 28, people who conceal their sins will not prosper. But if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. Confess and turn, mercy. Hand in hand in that is repentance. It says in 1 John that he is faithful. If we confess our sins to him, he will restore us into all righteousness. Also, encompassing that as well is this word called accountability. Maybe you need to find someone to be accountable to. Someone who can share the journey with you. Someone who you can ring up if things start to get hard, if you feel like you're tempted, if you feel like you're overwhelmed. Do you have someone like that? Someone you can trust? Someone who's close? Someone who can pray with you? Someone who can advocate for you? I've got a friend of mine who I met up with again a couple of weeks ago. They came up from North Brisbane, and he said to me, you know, if you ever need someone to pray with you, if you ever need someone to talk something through, you can do that for me. Do you have someone who can do that for you? Well, it has to be the right person. But there are benefits. James chapter 5, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. Maybe that's the thing that you need to have to find your way out, so you can prosper, so you can be healed. Someone you can be accountable to. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working. Or maybe it involves community. In fact, I'm fairly sure it does involve community. Richard says he's found a great community. That is part of the healing process. That is part of the process of prospering. Maybe you need a specific community. Maybe there's a group of people like AA or OA where people suffer from similar temptations and you can encourage each other. Maybe you need something more intensive. Maybe you need some sort of rehabilitation, some process. Maybe you need some counseling. But there is a way out. There is always a way out. That is a promise. God is faithful, and he will show you a way out so you can endure. Do we have any Star Wars fans out there today? A few? Is that all? Have you heard of Star Wars? Who's heard of Star Wars? Alrighty, so it came out in 1977. You had 44 years to get on board. So if you don't know the story now, maybe there'll be spoilers. But you've had your chance. In Star Wars, there's the goodies and the baddies. There's often the goodies and the baddies, isn't there? So this is two goodies, and they're escaping the Death Star. That sounds pretty bad. That sounds like a place you want to get away with. Someone was trapped there, and they were escaping. And they couldn't get away fast enough because a big Empire Star Destroyer was bearing down on them. So what did they do? They flicked the switch, they flicked their hyperdrive, and they went into hyperspace. And we've got something better than that. It's better than hyperspace. It's hypergrace. We've got the grace of God in our life. We've got the chance to connect with the greatest power in the universe, the love and the grace of God. So in that situation that you're in next, a thing pops up on your screen that you know you shouldn't be watching. Close that screen. Flip the switch. Engage the grace of God. When you want to say that thing back to that person that you know, it'll feel good if you say it, but you know it'll hurt them, or it'll hurt you, or it'll hurt the heart of God. Flip that switch. Engage the grace of God. And don't. When you're in that situation, when you're hanging outside Muffin Bro, and you're staring at that muffin. Flick the switch, engage the grace of God, and move away. Because there is always a way out. God is faithful. He'll give you a way out. James says, yell a loud no to the devil and watch him make himself scarce. Say a quiet yes to God and he'll be there in no time. God is with you. He wants to strengthen you. And even in your weakness, that is when he is strong and he will give you a way out. Now if you should fall, because let's be real, we've all sinned, we've all been there. The good news is that even if you stumble, you won't be down for low because God will not let go of you. He has a grip on you, on his hand. If you choose not to take that way out this time, you can confess, you can repent, you can turn back to God, you can fall on his mercy, you can fall on his grace. And next time, know that there will be a way out. Each time there will be a way out. You can't do it by yourself. You can only do it with God, who is faithful and give you a way out. We're going to enter into a time of response now. We're going to sing Amazing Grace. My chains are gone. It's a song about freedom. It's a song about the chains being broken. It's a song about God's grace. It's a song about God's mercy, which seems to be never endless. It seems to be always available to us. We're going to sing verse 1 and verse 2 in the chorus. And as we sing that today, I pray that you will listen to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, talk to you. And maybe there is something in your life that has had power over you, that has kept you trapped, and you seem to be falling in it over and over again. Or maybe you just want to call out to God and say, God, I know you are faithful, but there's something else that I'm really struggling with. Maybe it might be a testing, and maybe it might be a trial. Not a temptation. But you still need the power of God to endure. You still need the power of God to have success in that situation. You still need to trust God. Well, as we sing this song today, as we sing verse 1 and verse 2 in the chorus, I invite you to come out and pray. If you kneel or you sit on the seat, I'm just going to let you pray by yourself before God, entering that time. If you want someone to pray with you, which I think is great too, because the prayer of a righteous person, it makes a big difference. I invite you to come and stand, and someone will pray with you. But whatever God is asking of you today, whatever He's speaking into your heart, whatever the Holy Spirit is asking you to do, I pray that you will be obedient to that. I pray that you will trust Him in that, because God is faithful, and He will always give you a way.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love. Amazing grace.
Gary, can you just put the words to the next verse up there so we can read that? The Lord has promised good to me. The Lord makes a promise to you. Lord is faithful. He will give you a way out. His word, my hope, secures. Do you believe God in that promise? Do you believe that He can give you a way out? He will my shield and my portion be as long as life endures. A way out so you can endure. As we sing this next verse and this next chorus, if you want to come out and pray. As I said, if you kneel or if you sit, that's just you and God. If you want someone to pray with you, just stand there and someone will come and pray with you. Someone will come and bless you. Someone will come and intercede for you. But whatever it is, don't let this moment go by. This could be your moment to get that thing that you need from God. Let's sing verse 2 in the chorus.
The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace.
Father God, we thank You that You do break chains, that You do set us free from the traps, the temptations that want to drag us down, that want to drag us away from You, the sin that entices our own evil desires, the devil, whatever it is, Lord. I know that You want the best for us. You want what is good for us. Whatever is good and perfect, that is what You want. Lord, I pray that we will rely on Your grace. We rely on Your strength. I'm not trying to do this thing, this life thing, all by ourselves. Lord, I thank You that You can give us, and You have given us, and You will give us the victory in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray, we thank You for Your presence, and we praise You and thank You for always being with us and always being faithful. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He hath made known, nor why unworthy of such grace He claimed me for His own. But I know whom I have believed, hallelujah, and am persuaded, thank you, Seth, there should be more of them, that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Can we have some more hallelujahs? Hallelujah. Let's sing. I know not why God's wondrous grace.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He hath made known, nor why unworthy of such grace He claimed me for His own. But I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me He did impart, nor how believing in His word brought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in Him. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, of weary ways or golden days before His face I see. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day.
And now the benediction from Romans chapter 8. Paul struggled with this, but he didn't just leave it with, I don't know what the answer is. In chapter 8, he moved on with the answer. He said, thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Lord, let us be that promise that we hold on to today, that your life-giving Spirit has freed us and there is no condemnation in Christ. We pray that and we thank you as we go out today. In Jesus' name, amen. And don't forget to grab a muffin.